sitting in Intel food court, and I like to do that once in a while, rather than just sitting in my home office. I like to go into a public place, and I learned this from a pastor many, many years ago. And I sat with my Bible there, and my phone and my keyboard and the outline of where I was going to go today. And then I asked myself, what does what I have to share with you have to do with any of these people here? You look around, you're people watchers too. You sit in a food court and there's individuals that sit by themselves, and there's couples that are sitting, talking or not talking, there's families, there's people moving around in wheelchairs, there's all kinds of conversations, six people, eight people around them, all kinds of conversations and silence going on, no matter who you're watching. There's something going on. And what does God have to do with all these people? I don't know if any of them know God at all. I don't know if any of them are Christians. I don't know if any of them, I don't know what they're like. I don't know them from Adam and Eve or Noah. I don't know them. And then the Lord says, but I know them. I love every person here. I know each and every one of them already. I know what's going on in their lives. I know them. I care. This is my opening statement here. Jesus, God started creating the universe. Yes, Jesus was involved, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and I'm personalizing a little bit. Jesus, God started creating the universe and the world as we see it. And just as the universe is ever expanding, so is his heart and his life within us. Creation didn't just stop back then. 6 days, God rested. We sometimes have this idea that it just stopped. No, it's ever expanding. They're showing that, like it's just going, going, going. And new things we're realizing about the universe. But it's out there and it's in here. Jesus is still expanding and creating his heart and life within me, within us. And in every person he's speaking, we just sang the song, no matter if we can see it, no matter if we can feel it, he's working. He's working in all those people's hearts who were in the food court. And he's working in every one of our hearts. He is creating a good work in us. And his church will continue to grow and expand over all the world. His kingdom will have no end. And all of this includes you and me. So I quoted this last week, and a few of you resonated with it and talked to me about it, and I want to read it again. From Martin Robinson in his book, Invading the Sacred Space. What would it look like for a church to function in such a way that the primary goal of church life was not to attract more people into attendance or membership, but to produce people who have a profound sense of their personal relationship to God? What is the primary purpose of the church is not to attract more people. That's a byproduct. What if the primary purpose of the church was to produce a profound sense in each of us about our relationship with God. Their resource in Christ, in everything that we have in Jesus. And then we take that relationship into the world. That is a, and if any of you want this statement, I'll email it to you or text it to you. I texted a couple of people already. Let me know. I've bumped up against it a few times over the last number of months, and it just keeps sitting there. So then we go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 3. Just one verse. Verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. By His divine power, God has given everything we need for living a godly life. He's given us everything, the resource in that statement. He's given us everything that we need. Nothing is lacking. Everything. What did I say? First? Or third? Third Peter? Okay. Sorry. Thank you. Second Peter. What she said. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. He's given us everything. We have all received, we have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us. Who's saying that? Jesus is calling. Ryan and I never talked about this message. I love it. How with all our worship leaders, the songs and the message often connect. Jesus is calling. He called us to Himself. He's calling. He's inviting. I love the message. The translation message by, can't remember his name, God. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. The invitation, the calling, everything. Everything. This is amazing. I hope we never get tired of God. So why is this important? Well, somehow we got to live life, right? What does that have to do with our life? There's all kinds of stuff that goes on. There's our personal stuff that goes on. Maybe stuff that people don't even know about. Things that we worry about. Different stuff going on in our heart and life or in our minds. There's the families, our siblings, our parents, our extended family, our kids. Like, there's all those kinds of things that we can't live without family. We bump up against family for good or bad or ugly. We have family. Live through that, or our places at home, or at work. Oh, work. We're at work. Or at school. Or anywhere we are, our sports teams, our activities, our like all those different things. Our beliefs, our questions, our wonderings. We have questions about the Bible. We have questions about faith. We don't have all the answers. I don't know is sometimes a good answer. I don't know, but let's try to figure it out. And one blog I read this week talked about all this background noise. You ever try to be quiet and then doesn't work? Because it's just all chattering. Our minds are sometimes too busy and trying to be quiet is an exercise in futility. Wednesday morning, I was doing my bus route and came up to my directions, Lowen Avenue there. And so that's a cluster of kids that I pick up, and I'm usually there 5 to 10 minutes early. I have a great route. Like, kids are always on time. It's incredible. So this time I just turned off the bus. Now, any of you driven a diesel vehicle? This is loud, and the buses are diesel. So I turned it off. Other than a little bit of chatter of kids in the back, it was quiet. One of the grade one kids came in, and she said, "Oh, it's so quiet." And then she said, "And help me out here. What's that quiet time in school?" There's a phrase that she said to me.
Quiet calm time?
Sorry?
Quiet calm time?
Yeah.
Detention?
Detention. No, it wasn't that. QCT. No. It's just like this at school. And then all of a sudden we heard something. A bird. And I have a couple of grade one girls, and well, that boy wasn't picked up yet. A couple of girls behind us. Hear the bird? It was amazing. Quiet. Wow. I've been thinking about Kendall Schmincke's message from 2 weeks ago. That message just really grabbed me. And the Apostle Peter is encouraging, he's calling, he's inviting us through 2 Peter to participate in the divine nature, the life of Jesus. And he gave us two word pictures or illustrations. Do you remember what was the one? A canoe paddle. Okay, he had one live and in person up here and talked about the J.C. Rolk and all of that. Okay? What was the other? The sail. Wow. Now, I want us to go to John, book of John, the Apostle John, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us." True statement. "Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Now pause here for a moment. Sometimes when we read scripture, we're not party to the whole conversation. And as I read this passage and study, I'm going, this is a much longer conversation than what John wrote here. So sometimes it seems like Jesus is kind of curt. He's kind of short with Nicodemus. There was a bigger conversation going on here. So you need to be born again. "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" It's a weird question. "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again." Verse 8. This is the statement I want to camp on for a bit. Verse 8. "The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from." But some of the wind we've had in the last few weeks, we don't know. It's sort of southeast, west, sometimes north. We don't know where it comes from or how, but we can hear it. So is God's work in our hearts. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, my Holy Spirit is already working in you. You're already partway there. You're getting it. You're realizing who I am. You're already getting there. Let the Holy Spirit keep blowing in your heart and life, and let Him fill your sail. Let Him work in you. That's what Kendall was talking about last week, about letting that the wind blow in your sail. This is how people are born of the Spirit. Let Him blow. Let Him work in your life. Let Him flow. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians 5:18. And I love that. Kevin said, we often think of a cup. But that changed everything when he talked about the sail, because there were sailboats all over the lakes of Israel. That makes a lot more sense. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. How does that work? Isaiah 30, verse 21. Now, in the context, Isaiah is talking to everyone in Israel. God is not talking to Isaiah. It's for everyone in Israel. So when you hear these words, it's for everyone. It's for all of us. Verse 20. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink. That could be a whole nother sermon. Life is tough. That's just life on planet Earth. That's just life being human, and it ebbs and flows, or it's intense, or whatever it is. We all have adversity and suffering, and yes, sometimes God gives it to us. That's what he's saying. Sometimes stuff happens, other times God's actually moving in us. Been there, done that. Hope I don't have to do it again, but I'm sure it'll happen. But suffering and adversity is not easy. But then he says, God will still be with you, will still be with you and teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him right behind you. A voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. God will direct us through adversity, through suffering, through life, wisdom, all that we need to do. He will show us. Do you have questions about your faith? Do you have questions about a decision? Do we have questions like, what is God's will for my life? Where do I go? What do I do with my life? What daily decision do I have to make today or tomorrow? Or I made on Friday, but I'm not sure about that decision. What do I have to do? Where am I going? What is on my mind that I have to figure out? And God is saying, listen to me. Be with me. As I had a conversation with Ryan and Chris earlier this morning, and we got onto the topic of AI, artificial intelligence. Hot topic, all over the place. What's happening is, and we're all doing it, we have a question. Where do we go for a question? We go to the internet. And AI is right there. How many of you looked at Carol's newsletter that she sent on your phone this weekend? Okay. What showed up right before her email? Did any of you notice that? Or is it just my phone? All of a sudden it said AI overview. And it highlighted a couple of things, baptism and child dedication and all that. And then it went to her email. What? AI, get off my phone. I don't want to read you. I want to read what Carol sent to me. We go to AI for it, and I do that too. But here's the challenge. Never go to AI for something that we know God has to talk to us about. If it's a God question, and I'll say it this way, let's lean that most questions in our life should be a God question, or we should be getting more answers from God than from AI. Do you hear what I'm saying? So I'll go on the internet for AI or whatever. You can't not go to AI because it's just right there. For a medical question, I feel this or whatever. Well, what if I stop and say, God, I'm feeling this. What do you say I should do? I have a Bible question. So I go on the internet, because there's really good websites, GodQuestions.org and Gospel Coalition and all kinds of really good places you can get answers. But what if we stopped and said, God, Holy Spirit, what do you say about this question? Before I do all the research, even as preachers, we need to stop going to commentaries right away and sit back and say, Holy Spirit, what do you say about this question or this verse? Last verse, because it's getting hot in here. Might as well say it, right? Any of you else sweating? Good. Let's go last one, then I'll run and Chris off. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We know this verse. If you've been a Christian for a number of years, you know this verse, but we tend to ignore it. Proverbs 3, verse 5. I'm going to be paranoid now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. I think I should do this. No, trust in the Lord. Every decision, every planning, every meeting that we have as a church, every small group, every leadership team, we spend a good amount of time at the beginning of our leadership team praying together. Every team that meets and meeting, pray lots. Don't lean on our own understanding. It's a pooling of ignorance is what some meetings end up being. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He might have time to show you. He will show you which path to take. Isaiah 30, listen, you'll hear a voice. To the right or to the left? Where should you go? Where should you drive? I'm lost. Instead of going to Google Maps, that could be fun. Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go? Judy and I often pray on Sunday morning. We say, lead us to a significant conversation or two that you want us to have. I don't walk and go, I need to talk to that person, I let the Holy Spirit. Just like on Wednesday. Those conversations were led by the Holy Spirit. I just waited. It's incredible. Don't be impressed by your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn from evil. Ah. That's enough. Come on. Yeah. Sorry, I'm Ryan, Chris, and not everybody. push. It's not strive. It's not pen. As we're, the verb for the Christian life in the church is calling and invitation. Jesus is calling us. He's inviting us to walk with him in everything. And that's why he puts us in a body where we can search together his will, his, our questions, his answers. And so Ryan and Chris are going to lead us in the blessing, song that we've sung many times, of just a prayer of saying, God, bless us, lead us, encourage us, help us walk with you. So I ask you to stand. I'm going to pray. Working.